Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with the Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, the Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of Birds 365 after the initial 53-man roster is released. Joined now by Mike Gill from 97.3 ESPN Down the Shore. Mike, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Michael, good to see you. Super Bowl, correct? After you see that initial 53, is that your first thought?
Wouldn't be my first thought, but my thought would be it would be disappointing if they are not in the mix in that conversation throughout the entire season.
I agree with that. I mean, the starting group on each side of the football defensively very much improved. Obviously, offensively, one of the best in the NFL on paper. I think that's rock solid. I am a little bit alarmed at the depth on the offensive side. That was my first thought. I'm like, the numbers alone, 28-22,
yeah,
defense tells you they value the depth on defense more. Now, as Howie constantly said, it's a incomplete is the term he used. The Eagles are going to get a bunch of players back on the practice squad, manipulate things that way. But it's clear they didn't want to lose guys on defense more than offense.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that. I think in the, you know, training camp days leading up to this was there's a lot of guys in that secondary I don't think they're done looking at yet. And they valued so many of those guys that they didn't want to put them on the street and let other teams pick them up. But I think I guess it was Jeff McClain who asked the question about the disparity in the roster size, 28-22. And Roseman was pretty clear, like, hey, you know, we're not done and we're going to keep adding. And yeah, like you only have two tight ends. I would imagine they're going to add a third tight end. They cut basically any guy who's ever snapped the ball in the entire training camp. They all got released. I mean, everybody, they didn't keep, has anybody on the current roster other than Cam Jurgens snapped the ball in training camp? I mean, you're there, I'm not, but I can't imagine that they look.
No, the only Landon one Dickerson. Who's ever, yeah, the only one who's ever snapped the ball is Landon.
Right.
But yeah.
And I can't imagine they want to play him at center in any situation. No. So I know he was a center, and he was originally thought to be the guy who was going to replace Jason Kelce. But so you would think that they're not done on the offensive line. If I'm an offensive lineman right now, I'm thinking that I'm not safe on the initial 53. You've only got five wide receivers in here. Do you stick with the five that you got? They only have three running backs here. Are they going to bring in another guy there? So there's a lot of questions on offense that feel incomplete. And then there's a lot of things on defense that you're still wondering, well, you're going to keep that many guys, you know, I know somebody we were talking about last week is Vic Fangio going to pound the table for six defensive tackles. Well, right now he's got them. There's
he wanted seven.
Okay. Well, he's got six in there, six edge rush. So it seems that the manipulation is beginning now between now and I guess they have to have the roster for game one for Tuesday, right?
Yeah. And there's going to be, as you mentioned, wouldn't surprise me if, Donald Parham, for instance, was waived out and by the Chargers released. I was Kellen Moore's backup tight end last year. So just speculation, but somebody like that.
Well, we talked about that yesterday. You have Jack Stoll on the street, and now you have Donald Parham on the street. One played in the Eagles with the Eagles organization. The other played in Kellen Moore's system. Which one would win out if they had to bring in a guy that's been here before or a guy that played for Kellen Moore before?
Yeah, it kind of depends what you want. Obviously, Jack's just a blocker. He's not going to help you much as a pass receiver. They already have guys who can help you as pass receivers, and obviously Dallas can do both. And then Grant Calcaterra is more receiver than blocker. So kind of like what does Kellen Moore want? Does he need a blocking tight end to maybe do more things with Dallas Goedert, or does he just want a guy who can help in the passing game, which will probably be more of a Parham type thing? Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, but they're definitely going to have to add things on offense.
Yeah, and you know, now that everybody's cuts have been made, they're probably, you know, looking around and kicking the tires and figuring out things. But yeah, I would think, you know, initial, but certainly not definitive 53.
I'm looking at the list of the Eagles players they did move on from for a little while, and a bunch of them, as we're saying, will be back, and will be back today and on the practice field later today. And if you're looking at just the best players that the Eagles moved on from, you're probably talking about guys like Oren Burks or Paris Campbell or Perry Nickerson, maybe Julian Okwara, maybe Nick Yates. None of that should keep people up at night. Any concern, and my point of bringing that up, Mike, is that's the back end of this roster. Mm-hmm. And they didn't lose anybody, you're going to lose sleep over. Is that a concern about the overall depth of this team? Are they too top heavy?
Well, I mean, there obviously you've got a lot of elite talent on the top end on both sides. Well, I would say on both sides, but see, the problem with the defense is you got a guy like Carter who was very eagle-ish, right? He flashed early and then he kind of fell off late. Jordan Davis, first round pick, really hasn't flashed at any point of his career. You brought in Huff. He's a guy you paid a lot of money to, but you really don't have a track record on him here in Philadelphia. Josh Sweat had a couple of good years, and now he tailed off last year. You got Slay, who's very good, but when is Father Time going to tap him on the shoulder and bring him back down a notch? You got two rookies on the other side. So the defense has some higher-end guys, first-round picks, but you don't know much about them yet. On the offense, you do have guys who have performed in this league: Brown, Smith, Barkley, Goddard to some extent. The offensive line, which is interesting, you know, you have three guys on the offensive line that you feel pretty safe and secure about: Mailata, Dickerson, and
I'm at four. Lane. I have tremendous confidence in Cam Jurgens. I'm at four.
Oh, well, that's personal, right? But we and by the way, Jurgens has had injury issues. He missed time last year, so but you have three. How many times? You know, Mike Lombardi made a comment that the Eagles line is a little overrated, but they're still the second best line in the league. And I said, yeah, because every team in this league's offensive line pretty much stinks. You know, most teams have one or two guys that they can kind of count on. And then the rest of it is a bunch of, you know, whatever. The Eagles have three or four guys that they think can be. And if Mekhi Becton can play guard, we don't know that. But if he can play guard to his talent level, you could have four guys on this team that you feel pretty – or five guys on this team that you feel pretty darn solid about.
By the way, Mike, that is a great comment from Mike Lombardi. I'm like, come on. Oh, they're overrated, but they're the second best offensive line in the NFL.
Detroit's far and away the best. They're the best by far.
Which I agree with. Detroit is the best. I don't know about far and away.
And that Philadelphia is number two, but they're overrated.
Yeah.
Did you hear that line, or am I?
I did not. No, that is the first I'm hearing about it. Yeah. That's
producer played that for me yesterday. I guess he's on this.
You can't have the second best group in the NFL at anything and be overrated, in my opinion.
Yeah. I thought that was an interesting way to put it. You're the second best, but you're overrated. But I said it does lend to the how poor offensive line play is in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, how spoiled we are here in Philly. We've been talking about the offensive line for weeks now, about the depth and stuff, and we still, since the initial 53, and we got
a pretty good... Yeah, and I'm used to it. I'm used to the Eagles paying extra attention to the offensive line and going above and beyond, and people get pissed off about it.
So are you surprised then that Gates, Hennessy... Sharping.
That's what sunk me. Yeah, EJ Smith won the beat writer pool. What sunk me is the offensive line. Not only did I go heavy, because that's typically, I kept 10 offensive linemen. I kept Gates and McMahon, and that's what sunk me in the competition. Yeah, this is very un-Eagles like so far with the backup offensive line.
You got probably McMahon that you can try to sneak back in on the practice squad, but any of those veterans, or do you think they get scooped up?
But Nick's a wild card because he hasn't been here. I've never spoken to him because, you know, at this time of year, we can't go in the locker room. So we're at the mercy of the Eagles bringing people over. They haven't brought him over. I don't know what kind of relationship they've developed with him. He came in late. He's a veteran guy. He might be looking around, you know. If somebody else, you just talked about it, and you're right, Mike, offensive line deficient league, somebody goes, all right, we need to bring in some help, he might get a better opportunity elsewhere. So you have to be concerned about that. And then Brett Toth is out there as well. They can bring
back. There's another one.
He might be a little pissed off. You know, he plays all five positions. You mentioned he's the backup center the entire camp, and they kind of take him for granted.
As you know, John, Colin Thompson was on yesterday to talk about what it's like to be the guy that gets cut. Like, what's that like? And so he was telling us, you know, he's been cut multiple times in multiple different ways. But in some of those ways, it's, hey, stick around, we're going to bring you back tomorrow. So I'm imagining some of these guys got that message yesterday of, you know, hey, so of that group of offensive linemen, I wonder how many of them were told, hey, stick around, we're just
I certainly think McMahon was. And then the veteran guys, it's like, because, you know, and Colin probably told you, it's a two-way street as well. You know, some of these guys,
when he was in Carolina, they told him, if he asked him if he wanted to stay and go on the injured list, and he kind of bet against himself because he wanted you do get paid to be on the injured list.
Yeah,
so he took the injured list thing to make the money. And then ended up sticking around because, you know, they had a change of coach out there. But, yeah, it's all shell game, man, of moving. And that's where we are on this Wednesday, is the shell game. There's a couple guys. I didn't, like, scour the list a lot yesterday, but the early guys, I think I brought it up to you on my show, John, which I wouldn't – like, Terrence Marshall, a wide receiver, was a second-round pick. He hasn't been awful, obviously disappointing enough to Carolina. If Carolina's cutting you, what gives? But big guy, could play on the outside, I think, is a backup to Smith or Brown. You still don't have that guy here. There's still not that guy, a talented outside player, if one of your top receivers. So that would be a guy that would have some interest to me. I know everybody's going to keep kicking tires on linebackers, but as we talked about, they like the five they have, even to the point they might not bring in someone who's slightly better than what they have because they like the five they have here.
Mike, yeah, the linebacker's weird because it's like sort of overturned. It's upside down. It's like, I don't know if the starters are great, but I think they're all NFL players. So it's kind of weird at linebacker. With the everybody, Like, everybody wants more skill position people. I'm not picking on you, Mike, but they did what they're going to do at wide receiver.
You think they're good with five?
Yeah, I think they're – remember, Anais is, you know, going to be back at some point. It be – who knows? Obviously, they didn't have a great camp, but they don't want to give up on him. But with a guy like Marshall, it's like, all right, if you're down to the fourth or fifth receiver, you got to do something else. And you got to play on special teams. It might be punt returner like Covey. You might have to be a coverage player.
I just can't imagine – And you might feel differently than this. You've seen him in action, at least. If A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith had to miss 2 to 3 weeks with an ankle injury, are you playing Johnny Wilson on the outside? I mean,
no, they're playing Dotson on the outside. And
okay, so you're playing Dotson on the outside.
Yeah. Dotson, I mean, they got much better from a talent standpoint. Dotson obviously has talent. Now, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but I do think people look at him and say, well, he's 5'10", so he's a slot receiver. He actually played outside more than he played in the slot in Washington. So, yeah.
Hence, they gave up on him.
Well, yeah, that's a concern. But from the Eagles' standpoint, again, he's the 16th overall pick there. He's not the 16th overall pick here. He's the third receiver here. And look, they got much better because that was one of my biggest concerns I voiced with you. They have no backup to AJ and Devontae in that situation. If they sprain an ankle, if they got them, they're going to be a disaster outside. I no longer feel that way. Doesn't mean they're going to be great, but at least they can persevere with Dotson. So I think they've already plugged that hole. They're not looking to multiple options. Now, if he bails. That's a different conversation. And nobody knows him better than Washington, and they sure weren't concerned about trading him in the division, which is a little bit of a red flag, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, but 16th overall pick versus, you know, you saw with Jalen Reagor here.
I equate Dotson's situation to Aguilar a lot, where Aguilar was just not an outside guy. He had problems tracking the ball, drop problems on the outside, and they moved him to the slot. And he was much more comfortable, a much more productive player. I think Dotson moving to the slot. And listen, Aguilar was a first-round pick who had some expectations and couldn't live up to them. They moved him inside when they got Alshon. They had Torrey, and that kind of took the pressure off of him. I think this could be the same for Dotson, where – getting him out there, moving him into the slot. He doesn't have to be the 16th pick in the draft anymore here. That is behind him now. So he could just be the third guy with a lot of talent. And you're going to be a guy who's going to get a lot of matchups. It should be favorable for you, man. I mean, you're not putting your best corner on the inside slot guy when A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are here. And, you know, you need safety.
Well, that's another part. That's another part of why the Eagles wanted Dotson, is the fact that Kellen Moore, and people will get to see this as the real football starts, he's going to move AJ and Devontae around a lot. So they're going to play all three positions, both of them. Could be X on one play, could be Z on another, could be flex on another. And they're going to be all over, and they're both going to be in the slot. And when they're in the slot, if you're playing 11 personnel, and this was one of the concerns with Britt and Covey, well, that means you have to go play outside. Dotson can do that. Somebody like Covey can't. If you're talking about Johnny Wilson, in theory, he could play outside, but can he play inside? Probably not. So they've gotten a more versatile player, which is sort of what Kellen Moore. At least they hope they've gotten a more versatile player, which is what Kellen Moore wants, so he can set up the situations and maximize the matchups with AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. That's the goal. That's the goal.
Yep.
Mike, you don't seem as high on the Dotson trade as some of the others. Am I reading that wrong?
No, I like the trade. I do understand with what John is saying. You know, why is Washington just kind of giving up on him? I mean,
yeah, right.
Everybody has piled on Washington for making, including Bill Belichick, who got involved. I said, is Bill Belichick like making sure that he puts his praise out for Roseman and just in the event that something goes awry here to let him know, hey, I thought you fleeced
Washington. That's a good conspiracy theory.
Right? I thought you fleeced Washington. I mean, Belichick was talking about, I forget where he was the other day. Man, Belichick has more jobs than anybody now. I mean, my God,
he's yeah.
on every platform yeah, possible. Everywhere. But he was saying, like, I don't know what the hell Washington was thinking. How do teams keep letting Howie Roseman do this? Like, so I'm like, is he just giving over praise for Roseman in the event that Sirianni?
From the people I talked to be honest, they thought it was very expensive.
I brought this up to you on my show, which was you gave up a third round pick for a number three wide receiver. Was that a big, you know, amount? Now, I think, you know, you look at it, you had 2/3. No, so to go back to your point, Xander, no, I thought the deal was a great pickup for them, something they certainly needed, and it's what the Eagles like to do.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world. From the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with the Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Find a high ceiling guy, you know, find a guy right. who they tried it with Doriel Green Beckham years ago, a guy who had a lot of talent. Hey, you're not working there. Let's bring you here. Obviously, that did not work out. I don't think this guy is a knucklehead.
You good with the third round pick?
Yes, I'm good with the third round pick. Like, if I have a first-round player who gives me first-round talent, is he going to be a 1,000-yard receiver in this offense? Probably not. But if he can, you know, be a guy.
Hope not.
I would say hope not.
Exactly.
Does that mean somebody got hurt?
No, but if he could be a guy that demands some attention, what does that mean for the other two guys? That they're going to have easier time. So their numbers go up because more attention. You know, it's like that year where they had Torrey, Nelson, and Alshon. None of them were like crazy great, but they all kind of had their role that you couldn't like put too much attention on one or the other. Right. Smith did just enough as a guy who just did flies that you had to pay attention to him because he was a veteran who knew how to do it. Jeffries was just perfect at what he did, and that gave Aguilar the ability to just kind of work the middle of the field. And Nelson was very good at kind of – he had that speed in the between the hash marks where he could catch and then get up the field and do a lot of – and he was bigger than some of these. You know, you get some of these little scat kind of guys. So I like the deal for Dotson. Did they give up too much? No, I don't think so. Like, look, a third-round pick is a third-round pick. If it turns out to be a starting – solid player for you, that's great. You know, it's like the baseball game. Do I want to give up a prospect? Look, the Phillies had J.P. Crawford at one point. He was the number one prospect in all of baseball. Does anybody miss J.P. Crawford? No. So you take your shot on a proven player over the prospect. We all in America love what's behind door number two. We all want to see what's behind door number three. But if I have what's behind door number one and I know it, and I feel comfortable enough with it, I have no problem giving up a third round pick for a player that I like.
Yeah, I find it. I didn't hear Bill's comments. I find that interesting. I like your conspiracy theory.
He was
theory.
Overly.
I like your conspiracy theory. I think
that was
my
initial thought.
I think it's the old adage that it makes sense for Howie. And it makes sense for Washington because Washington's not in a position to win and the Eagles are. So the Eagles are trying to seize the moment. And so I think it makes sense for both sides. Similar to what I say about Saquon, makes perfect sense for the Eagles to bring him in. If the Giants doubled down and kept him as the foundational piece, it would have been the dumbest move in the history of the NFL.
But here's why it makes sense, and see if you guys agree or not. And this is where Roseman comes back into play. Because he's so good at manipulating everything else, you can afford to pay a running back where other teams can't do that because they can't put that much money into that position because they haven't manipulated the rest of the way to do it. They haven't set their, you know, you look at the cap hit for a guy like Hurts versus a cap hit for a guy like Daniel Jones or, you know, what Dallas goes through half the time. They can't put money into, they can't spend that kind of money because they are capped out in too many other areas. The Eagles have it set up to where they're paying guys a lot of money, but for whatever reason, no one has followed suit to where they can say, you know what, we have set up our system to where we can overspend on a player.
Well, that's where, because the only thing I would disagree with what you're saying there, Mike, is everybody can do it.
They can do it, but they don't.
You have to have an owner who approves of it, number one. So Jeffrey's a big part of this. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to kick money into the years down the road and have 18 bullyable years. I'm obviously exaggerating. In the case of Jerry Jones, he's a perfect example. Like, that guy doesn't care. He knows he's paying. We were talking about this yesterday on the show. All these people worrying about them keeping CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, it's absurd. Jerry Jones's history is obvious. He keeps the players he wants to keep. Nobody has more money. He's just a dummy, and he doesn't care about spending more money than he has to.
Right.
From that standpoint, right. Because, and he said this at training camp, Mike, he wants to keep the Cowboys in the forefront. That's his whole plan, to keep them always on the front page, so to speak.
Yeah.
With all this nonsense. And then he just pays the guy, and he pays the tax on the back end.
Yep. That's where we talk about the last cut. And look, the Eagles have won one Super Bowl in the, you know, it's 2017. They've been to another one. They certainly had more success in the last 30 years than Dallas has. But in the recent 10-year span here, you're looking at it, I think Dallas has had more talent on the field. Philadelphia has more talent off the field. And you see how much off-the-field talent does matter in the NFL. It's when they say top down, you watch it with those two teams. Because I think Dallas has had some more on the field talent, but Philadelphia is just a better run.
Well, I would say, you know, that
they're close.
And I say this all the time for people that don't know, because Jerry is so overbearing and overriding, that the Cowboys might have the best personnel guy in the business.
And they do a great job drafting. They do.
And that's Will McClay, who's their whatever vice president or player personnel. I don't know the exact title. He's so well respected. He's unbelievable. And that is what is tied to a lot of their success when it comes to drafting. And there are very few teams. Baltimore's in the conversation. Dallas is really good at personnel.
Yep.
And it's because of Will, not the Joneses.
They are very good at drafting and finding talent. Where they fumble the ball is figuring out when to approach them.
Oh, they don't approach them. Yeah. They don't do
make
that.
The cap fit for them so that they could be a bigger player in free agency. You know, when does Dallas go out in free agency and make a big splash? A lot of times they, you know, for this big market big, you know, brand team, they're not going out and getting.
They're not very splashy at all when it comes to making trades or free agency. But when people fall for it every year, and I say it all the time, they're paying them. They're paying Micah Parsons. I can't tell you when. There's probably going to be a bunch of angst and a bunch of stories written because Jerry wants them in the headlines. But ultimately, they're going to make him the highest paid edge rusher, probably the highest paid defender in the history of football. At the time they decide to, all right, we're done. We're going to sign him. They always do.
They always do.
But yeah, from building a team and, you know, look at the AJ Brown contract, look at the Devontae Smith contract, look at the Jalen Hurts contract. Jalen Hurts was the highest paid player in the history of football for 10 seconds, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Now look at him. Now look at where he stands. The Eagles are very good at being proactive because and really Joe Banner deserves that credit. That's where that comes from. Yeah. Howie learned it from Joe Banner. And Joe will tell you that. anyway, back to the roster. Off to the tangent at hand. If there was one player, Mike Gill, that you wanted to keep, and I have a tough time answering this question. Did you have one guy that was like, oh, I had to keep this guy and they didn't keep him?
That didn't make the team, you're saying? That's not on the current group?
One guy. Your one guy that you said, oh, they should have kept him. There is nobody, right?
Because if you had a certain guy you were pulling for in that cornerback, like in other words, if you were a Job guy or you were a Ricks guy, you know, that could have been the one like, I like Ricks a lot. They should have kept him. Well, they kept them all. They kept that whole room. And then if you like McCollum, they kept him too. So there was a couple guys in there that you were kind of wondering about. Not that I was one of pulling for any one of those guys over the other. Cause to me, if Slay can't play, if Mitchell doesn't play, DeJean doesn't play, or Rodgers doesn't play, and Ringo would be the next guy, those guys to me are just hanging around carrying helmets all season long, hopefully. So, there wasn't a guy I was really pulling for in that corner room. But I was just surprised overall, as you said, the 28 and the 22, that you ended up going – short at certain spots and keeping so many of them. So it tells you that it's not finished.
No.
The question is, how many of those guys can they then try to manipulate and get through? I can't imagine they're going to try to sneak those guys on. That's what I'm saying. Are they going to try to sneak Job, Ricks, McCollum, that group of guys onto the practice squad?
Yeah. Well, Job, they have to. They did release Job. And that was the conversation, Ricks versus Job. And they'll try to get him back on the practice squad. I don't think it's going to be a problem because he's not a very good cornerback. He's a good special teams player, but he's not a good cornerback, which is why the Eagles kind of lean towards Eli Ricks, even though, to your point, a bunch of things, Mike, would have to go wrong this year for Eli Ricks to even get any playing time. The Eagles are so deep at corner. And how
Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We mentioned that was a correction, almost an overcorrection, because he admitted he did a disservice to the coaching staff last year by how little depth they had at cornerback. Now, look at how much Eli Ricks played as an undrafted rookie. Now you can't even find a way to get him on the field.
Yeah, I'm going through the list now just to, you know, there's not one guy that I'm like, they should have keep this guy around. Like,
I know, Aguara. But is that, I'll ask it this way though. Is that a concern? There's usually one or two that you're like, oh,
Burks. Okay. I don't think that's like, oh man, why'd they get rid of, like, Oren Burks? You would say he's good enough to play here. But does that say they like the other guys better than him? And that's a good sign that he didn't make the team. Not that it's, you know, just because, you know, Burks, Paris Campbell, Gates, Hennessy, those were all veteran players that didn't make this team. Is that a good sign that we don't need these veteran players? We're good enough that we don't need to keep these guys around. I mean, obviously, I have some I would love to have seen Will Grier get a spot on this team. My man, Will Grier, West Virginia, baby.
Beat Penn State this weekend. He's like an extra coach. He's like an extra coach.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like that. Like, but Okwara would be one guy that I would have been interested to see. You know, third round picks, had, you know, had a year where he had five sacks with Detroit, had some injury issues. Was there something there as a guy who can, because this, there's one area this team has some question marks still, I think, is consistent pass rush. Do they think they have it? Maybe they think they do. But with keeping a guy like that around, giving them a guy who can maybe get to the quarterback, obviously they might say, no, this guy's got nothing left in the tank.
By the way, for those who don't know, I mentioned it earlier, Julian Okwara was already out visiting Arizona yesterday. So he's checking his options. And, you know, maybe he'll come back on the practice.
I liked him a lot from Notre Dame. He was a third round pick a couple of years ago. So, you know, had some injury issues. But that one, 2 years ago in Detroit, he was pretty decent, you know, and he thought, all right, maybe there's something they can rekindle here. But obviously they see something differently. So he might have been one guy.
Gannon, was he? No, right? He wasn't here with Gannon, was he? No, that was
before.
No. Yeah.
No, they signed him this offseason. I think he was a futures contract.
Yeah, he's a futures
contract. Yeah, right. That's right.
He was one of the futures guys Howie made a big deal over. Only one of them made it, Darian Kennard. Now, you'll see a lot of spinning. Thomas Booker was a futures guy. Tristan McCollum was a future. But they were here. Howie's making a big deal out of future guys he plucked off other people's practice squads. One of them was Julian Okwara. One of them was Terrell Lewis.
And can Julian Okwara give you more on an NFL Sunday than Jalix Hunt can?
Probably.
You're not gonna cut Jalix Hunt. I know you're not gonna cut him.
Yeah. Right.
But on game day, is he inactive?
Yeah. And, probably, you know, September 6th against Green Bay. Yeah, Okwara probably helps you more. Howie talked about that though too as well. He mentioned, like, him and Nick have different jobs. Like, Nick's got to go out and beat Green Bay. Howie's got to service those two masters. Like, all right, he's got to beat Green Bay, but he's also got to think about the future. And obviously, yeah, you can't cut Jalix Hunt. If you, right. if you're just taking the best players to help you beat Green Bay, a bunch of positions change. But that's not how you build a roster. I mean, yeah. So it is different. And he used the word tricky. It's tricky. Yeah. And it is tricky to build a proper roster in the NFL. But Howie's proven he's one of the best. Experience a lot to do with that. One of the best is Mike Gill at Mike Gill Show on the X platform. Make sure you follow Mike there. 97.3 yeah. ESPN South Jersey, the Sports Bash. By the way, I'm going to be on the practice field, Mike. So we got a confliction today.
I'll text you.
Yeah, we got to figure that out. But listen to Mike 2 to 6 every day. The Sports Bash drive time if you're local in South Jersey. Any parting thoughts about the initial 53, Mike Gill?
Fluid is the initial 53. I think there'll be multiple changes to this roster by the time they get on that plane to go to Brazil. Overall, you know, one thing I will add to this is when you look at the schedule, there is one game on that schedule that's okay. That game, they play Carolina. Every other game is a team that thinks they can make it. Maybe the Giant games. I think the Giants are going to struggle.
Giants Washington.
If you think Washington is going to be a better team because of Daniels, Giants, Washington, and Carolina. I think every other team on that schedule thinks they're a playoff team.
That's
Atlanta
NFL,
has
man.
Gotten a lot better.
Atlanta looks good on paper. If I don't know if Kirk's healthy, but
if you're saying other than Carolina and the two division games, my quote unquote easiest game is at New Orleans. Never an easy place to play. Their schedule is pretty tough.
That's the NFL. Everybody can beat
it
you.
Is
it's not it, like but, Xander's Alabama club that's paying Western Kentucky $2 million to roll over. You don't have those games in the NFL. Yep.
So yeah, this is an interesting schedule. You got to start in Brazil, then you got a Monday nighter against a good Atlanta team. That Atlanta team is way different than the one that we saw last year. Their quarterback who started last year, Desmond Ridder, he just got cut in Arizona. So yeah. That's a big change to go from Desmond Ridder to Kirk Cousins. They got, you know, that's interesting. So this roster, to answer your question, fluid, and this season, probably fluid.
Nice, Mike Gill. Good stuff. Make sure you guys listen to Mike at 97.3 ESPN down the shore. Mike, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate it, giving a shout to the West Virginia on the way out. Mike, we'll talk to you next week. All right, brother?
See you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Here's Mike Gill joining us on Birds 365. Great stuff from Mike Gill. Great opening, great thoughts on the initial 53-man roster here. We'll get to our next commercial break. Before I do that, Johnny Mack, I got a super chat I think you're going to like. At least you'll like the reference. I don't know if you'll like that he's calling me it. Thanks to Xander. I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. I guess an ode to.
OTC.
Yeah. Roman the head Reigns. Of the table. Is that that's what they call him, right? I haven't watched WWE in quite a bit.
Come on. It's never been more compelling. You got to watch it now.
You might have to suck me in, John, a little bit, and we'll do some segments throughout the year on it.
Yeah, I'm a big wrestling guy, so I will enjoy those segments probably more than talking football, to be honest.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you talk football enough, I think you'll enjoy them definitely more. Dang, thanks for the super chat, man. We appreciate you being here. Appreciate everybody in the chat for being here. Already over 100 likes on the show, so thanks everybody for that. Almost 500 on here on YouTube, so smash that like button. We'll take a commercial break. We'll come back. I want to kick around the tight end 2 spot with John McMullen and see – you know, what his thoughts are on that position. A lot of people talking about Jack Stoll, so we'll see what
Grant Calcaterra is the tight end, too. You got to worry about tight end three.
Sorry about that. I meant the tight end 3. So we'll get to our commercial break. We'll come back, and then we also have Andrew DeCecco in hour number 2. So a good hour 2 planned for everybody. Stay tuned. Birds 365. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.